This is The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio, where we're talking about what you're talking about. Joining me to host this episode is Dale Spaulding. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university. They are solely the opinions of the hosts. Thank you for joining us this week for this episode of The Spot. I'm Virginia Henry.
I'm Dale Spaulding.
And we are going to be talking about a legend who has passed away and the legacy that he leaves behind. I think we're all pretty familiar and aware, because I've heard it all over campus, that Stan Lee has passed away.
Yeah. I'm bummed.
Are you doing okay, Dale?
I've had to go home and hug my wife for a little while. We watched a couple Marvel movies. And there's the hole is just still there.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that extra.
Okay. I consider myself a Marvel fan. I will admit, I am definitely a movie Marvel fan.
That's me too.
I'm not a comic nerd. I had friends who were, who told me a lot about it, so I felt like I was connected to it. But did I ever go buy a bunch of comics and read them from him? I didn't.
Yeah, I haven't had that experience. I think it'd still be fun to do today. I don't know where I could get them, but, you know, it's one thing. And I think with what I've prepared for the show today, I think that we can see that Stan was a really influential guy for a reason. And it wasn't just because of the content of his product, his comics, his characters. It was also who he was as a person. And I think that's ultimately the biggest loss that we have, because people can write stories all the time. Stan Lee, as a storyteller, is hard to top, but stories will always be there. Stan Lee will not.
Right. I love that. You know, people may be like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we still have the, like, it's not like the Marvel Universe is going away.
Right.
Like, calm down. But I love that you're focusing it more. Okay, don't look at him just for his products. He was a person.
Right.
And he created things because he had these certain morals, these certain beliefs, and those created what we have come to know and love. So please, let's hear some of the stuff that you looked up about Stan.
Cool. So these are not specific about his life. I mean, you could Google that on your own. What I wanted to do was give a kind of a snapshot into his character, kind of like what we've been mentioning. And so I looked up different quotes that he came up with, but ScreenRant.com has actually compiled a list of some of his best quotes. So this is kind of their dealio. I'm going to make that very clear. But I want to at least mention some of these. We can talk about them if we'd like. Let's start it off. This is kind of a countdown. This is number 10 from Stan Lee. Most people say, I can't wait to retire so I can play golf or go yachting or whatever they do. Well, if I was playing golf, I'd want to finish so I could go and dream up a new TV show. He was just kind of an oddball. I think that that's part of why he was so lovable, is that he kind of went against the grain. I mean, I could picture a lot of people that would say, I want to retire and I want to go golfing. But he's the type of person that would go golfing now and then use that experience towards what he's going for in life. For him, it was probably TV at that time.
Right. And I think that is an important thing for people, especially us here at college. You know, we're trying to figure out what we want to do with our lives. We're like, oh, you know, the pressure. But I also think it's just this, it's okay to do something maybe a little bit different or take a chance on something. Me, I'm an example of not doing that. I love music. I love writing songs. I love singing. I love playing the guitar and the piano. Like, that was something I was super passionate
about.
That's
awesome.
And I was too afraid to major in music because I was like, there's no guarantee you can actually have a career in that unless you're a teacher and you don't make a lot of money. And so
right.
I'm not going to do that because I was afraid of taking a chance of doing something that for my family was like, you probably shouldn't do that. You know, that was kind of looked down upon. And so I didn't do it. So I really admire people who are like, you know what, I'm passionate about this. And so I am going to work so hard that I make it a reality.
Right. I like that. And thanks for sharing that. That's like first, that's the first I've ever known of that about you. That's awesome.
Well,
that,
yeah. See, I don't even tell people anymore.
All right. Quote number 9 from Stan Lee. Quote, I never thought that Spider-Man would become the worldwide icon that he is. I just hoped the books would sell and I'd keep my job. End quote. Stan was a humble dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as you like think about who he is known as today, this phenom, this crazy, popular, well-recognized man,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning he was just a guy trying to have a job, support his family. That's super, like, from rags to riches type stories, as far as they go, this is that story. And I
right.
think that's why not only did he go from rags to riches, he stayed humble about it too.
Right. He's just like, I was just trying to make a living here, you know?
I'm just trying.
Right.
And that's all we can do. And it gives us hope to continue to push on.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Number 8. Quote from Stan Lee. Quote, someone wants to do a movie of my...
It's okay.
I promise I
Take
can talk.
Three.
Take three. Someone wants to do a movie of my life now, and he's writing a script. And I said to him, what the heck would you do? I've never been arrested. I haven't taken drugs. I've had the same wife for 54 years.
Oh,
where's anything of interest to people?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love that so much. He's so aware that the media play off of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
that ain't me.
I lived a pretty chill life, you know? Like, I was faithful. I worked hard. You know, I didn't break the law. I wasn't this crazy gangster.
Right.
And, you know, what are you going to do with it? I love that. I love that. And so it's a good reminder for those of us, especially here at BYU Idaho, with the moral code that I hope we're living.
Right.
You know, sometimes we may be like, I'm never going to get anywhere because people aren't going to think I'm fun or I'm cool because I have these standards that I have to live by. But he's like, no, you can stay married to the same person. You can be happy in the same relationship for 50-something years. You know, you can do these things and not have so much drama in your life and still be an influence in the world.
Right. All right.
You don't have to be a Kardashian. I guess that's
right. All right. Number 7. Quote, luck is one of the most important things in the world and really has a role to play in everything. And in marriage, I've been lucky enough to be married to the same girl for all these years. I feel like that's just tender.
Aww,
you know, like,
sweet.
I'm not necessarily the one that believes in luck. I feel like timing might be a better way to say it. But as far as Stan Lee goes, I can understand where he's coming from. I mean, he'd probably consider himself lucky. And it's funny that he's not talking about lucky with his books, lucky with his characters.
Of all the things to talk about.
It's his wife.
He talks about his family.
That is, it's super special.
Wiping away tears here.
You need a tissue? Let me just get that wiped out for you. There you go. All right. Number 6. I have always included minority characters in my stories, often as heroes. We live in a diverse society, in fact, a diverse world, and we must learn to live in peace and with respect for each other. I already felt like he was a classy dude. Like, in none of the cameos that he's ever done, he's never sworn, he's never been vulgar, he's never done anything like that. So to hear him talk about this diversity in this way was really refreshing, especially with a guy that came from a time period that people might think or prejudice against for, you know, racism or drug culture or whatever. He wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
I often wonder, what can I do that could change social norms? And
right.
I think it's just not judging people, because we judge people so much by, like, who they vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is nuts. And so I think it's just having love, right? It's always been about love. And I feel like we need more of that today, maybe than we ever have, because it's a lot harder to see the hate.
Right.
Because before it was easy, right? He's like, we don't have any black superheroes, so I'm going to make Black Panther.
Right.
Right, which was super controversial.
Mm-hmm.
whereas now, that's not. So what can you do? you can put more love into your actions and the way that you treat people, especially when they're on the other side of your, you know, your debate team or your political spectrum or your moral beliefs or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Right. You know, and some kids might even be within your own family. There's disagreements that you have, political or personal or whatever they are.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. It's about having tolerance. It's about yeah. being kind.
And that will make the biggest difference. That's always what has made the biggest difference.
So to that end, in the spirit of tolerance and with the ideas that Stan has introduced, I actually have a little bit of trivia here. All right, so this little bit of trivia that I've got for you. Stan Lee actually created Latter-day Saint heroes for the Marvel canon.
That just blows my mind.
It's so cool. So just two examples real quick. The mutant, he's a mutant, and if you know the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we haven't really seen that yet, but it's been hinted at. It's whispers in the wind. The character Cypher, he has the ability to understand and speak any language, human or otherwise. Pretty cool.
Cool.
There's also Mallory Book, who was crowned Miss Utah and graduated top of her class from BYU. She is a secretary in a law firm under She-Hulk.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
It's
cool.
Really cool.
There we go. I love that. See? And so he wasn't just, I'm just going to include some of these, you know, minorities or these different people. He was
right.
Like, I'm going to include everybody.
Right. I really appreciated that about him. All right. Down to number 5. Quote, I try not to do anything that's too close to what I've done before. And the nice thing is we have a big universe here. It's filled with new ideas. All you have to do is grab them.
Seize your moment. Seize the day. That's what it is. Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
I got it. Yes.
He was so creative. I love that about him. And I'm glad that he shared that with us. All right. Number 4, if I'm counting my mathematicals. Number 4, quote, my theory about why people are like superheroes is that when we're kids, we all love to read fairy tales. Fairy tales are all about things bigger than life. Giants, witches, trolls, dinosaurs, and dragons, and all sorts of imaginative things. When you get a little bit older and you stop reading fairy tales, but you don't ever outgrow your love for them.
Mm.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of simple storytelling elements to a superhero story. You might think, even with people watching the MCU, they'd watch that and go, I've seen this before. It's a carbon copy of this. Ant-Man is the same as Iron Man. It's the same story, all this stuff. And there's been complaints about villains being like gray or like the carbon copy of the hero, like the opposite of the hero, but the same power set. I think there's a reason for that. I mean, those are the same kind of archetypal things that follow each story, and especially fairy tales. So I feel like he was onto something with that. He's a guy ahead of his time. Okay. Number 3. Quote, I don't know where the heck I'll be in 5 years. Maybe I'll be producing movies. Funny enough. Maybe I'll be on a corner selling apples. I don't know, but I'm having a heck of a lot of fun.
This reminds me of the quote, bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
Like, just lift where you stand. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those, like, give yourself 100% where you are right now and enjoy it. Like, don't just be like, I'll be happy when college is over.
Yeah.
You know, like, give yourself to college. Like, do your best. Enjoy it. And then whatever the next step is, go for that 100%.
I think that people would even solve the idea that, oh, there's nothing to do at college because they think that that's all that there is. And that's the one thing keeping them from some sort of happiness later on. I mean, if you enjoy it while you're here, it'll mean much more to you when you leave. And it's going to come and go
profound,
like that.
Profound, Dale.
Oh, thanks. Let's get the snaps on. Thank you. I'll be here all week for poetry night. All right. Number 2. You know my motto is Excelsior. That's an old word that means upward and onward to greater glory. It's on the seal of the state of New York. Keep moving forward, and if it's time to go, it's time. Nothing lasts forever.
I like that.
That's every time I hear that. Okay, here's the deal, because you know there's going to be some kind of Stan Lee cameo in Avengers 4 and in Captain Marvel, okay? Because they've already filmed them, and they finished before his passing. So if he says anything like Excelsior with me knowing this quote, I'm going to die in the aisle. Where's my tissues? I need my tissues right now.
That's great. You know, just continuing. Well, I love that he continuing to improve.
Right.
When he wasn't like, I'm going to sit. I've achieved this great money-making machine. I'm good. Right. It was
always. He didn't
always,
settle.
Yeah. You're not supposed to be content. You're supposed to continue to improve yourself, your relationships, your life in all these different ways. That doesn't just mean monetarily.
Right.
It just keep trying to be better.
Yeah. All right. Number one from Screen Rants. Drum roll. All right. Quote, I used to be embarrassed because I was just a comic book writer while other people were building bridges or going on in medical careers. And then I began to realize entertainment is one of the most important things in people's lives. Without it, they might go off the deep end. Dang. Like, hearing that, it's like he saw the effect that people had after viewing his product. Like, regardless if it was a character, a comic, a series, or a film.
Right.
It was crazy. People connect with these stories. And, you know, we could delve into that in a separate episode. But it's, I understand why they connect. We see some of us, ourselves, in these movies. And I think that that's one of the most important things that Stanley captured and was able to help people to, you know, picture a better way of doing things for them. So they walked away inspired.
Right.
That's my thought.
I absolutely love it. It's all about trying to leave the world better than you found it. And he, you know, he said he felt a little bit bad thinking, I'm not really making that much of a difference. I'm not doing these really good things. And some of us may feel that way, especially while we're here in college.
Right.
Like, I'm not really influencing the world. You know, I'm not changing anything. But if we look at the, like, the aspects in our lives, just the people you smile at when you walk through campus,
right,
or you give somebody a compliment on the color of their eyes or their cool shoes, or, you know, I mean, these simple, easy to do things,
yeah,
you can lift the world. You can make it a better place through your communication. And his way of communicating to the world on a grand scale was through his comics,
right,
and then through movies. And we can find a way to inspire people and lift people where we are. It doesn't have to be the world, our sphere. It can be our sphere, our family, our sphere, right, our school, our sphere, our community. And then that will just have a butterfly effect. And
yeah,
you never know how many people could actually be affected if you just choose to have that better perspective and be like, I'm going to make somebody feel good today. And
yeah,
that can have an impact.
I even had the thought as you were talking about that, you don't have to change the world to make a difference.
Right.
It's just the little stuff. The little stuff means so much more in the long term than this big Herculean effort that you put out into the world. It's the little stuff. And I think that's what Stan Lee was able to capitalize on, not just monetarily, but personally.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person he was. So thank you, Stan. You're awesome. Thanks for the legacy you left and for the stories you've told. They're going to keep going. We love you.
And we're going to try to continue to lift the world in our own ways through our own influences.
Absolutely.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us during this episode to remember Stan Lee and the wonderful legacy that he's left us. I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Dale Spaulding.
And we'll see you guys next week. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university. They are solely the opinions of the hosts. The hosts for this episode were myself, Virginia Henry, and Dale Spaulding. This episode was produced by Virginia Henry. The project supervisor for this episode is Brandon Isle. Be sure to share this podcast on social media from our Facebook page, BYU Idaho Radio. You can also download and listen to past episodes of The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and wherever else you get your podcasts. The music used in this podcast are Running by DJ Quad and Buddha by Context.